So we're in Parshas Vayetzei. Yaakov has been sent to go and find the wife back again at Avram's family. And along the way, Yaakov, right, he passes Haramalia. He realizes that he goes back. And we know the famous story that he sees the ladder with angels going up and coming down. We're told what some were the angels of Eretz Yisrael going up, and the angels of Chutz La'aretz came down, one of the Pshatim. And Yaakov says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, I make an eder. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with me, if you will guard me on this way, which I'm going, if you, he will give me bread to eat, clothes to wear, and if I return to my father's home in peace, Hashem will be my God. And if that's the case, this stone, which was 12 and became 1, which I have now set as a monument, will become Beis Elohim, the house of God. And everything that you give me, I will give a tenth from. I'll give you my back.
Ari Perlman.
Ari Marie already. Okay? Yaakov woke up from his dream, right? The 12 stones had fused into one, and he made the Shuah. He asked for protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sustenance, food to eat, clothing to wear, and he promised he would give Maaseh. The Kli Yakar asks a number of questions. Why did Yaakov make a vow if, in the dream, Hashem had promised him protection? Why did he seek further assurance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection? And this pasuk is very, very wordy, and it would seem redundancies. Bread to eat, clothing to wear. Well, I don't eat clothes, right? And I don't wear bread. So why do I have to say what they're for? Moreover, the Kli Yakar picks up a slight difference between the wording in Yaakov Avinu's now enunciated vow and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's promise. Hashem said, I will return you to this land. But Yaakov said, if I return safely to my father's house. What's this differential? The Kli Yakar says Yaakov was requesting spiritual protections rather than physical. He proves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise that I will guard you wherever you go. Yaakov said, protect me on the path that Anoichi, that I am walking, and I will return safely. He says, from these words, he learns out that Yaakov's interest was Ruchnius, which is dependent, right, on the person.
I'll do it cheaper.
Guys!
Sorry, sir.
He says, the level of our ruchnius, of our spiritual strength, is in our control. Physical is out of our control. That depends on Hashem. So what he's saying is, it seems, Yaakov realized that his success in being a tzaddik, in spirituality, would be up to what he did in the situations he would face. He knew that, like every other person, he had bechira. free choice, but he also realized that the only way to succeed, the only way to beat the Satan, is with Siyata Dishmaya. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't help, the individual is toast. The Satan wins the battle. And this is what Yaakov was saying. Could I please have the required Siyata Dishmaya to do what I know will be right, and therefore have the strength to do it. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, prevent my eyes from seeing sheker, falsehood. David HaMelech said that even when you're in the spiritual realm, it seems there could be a danger to being blinded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov to guard him from everything in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control. But Yaakov's individual derech path, the way he's going to lead his life, the way he's going to raise a family, right, is Yaakov's, right? And, right, Yaakov was asked for God's help in doing it. Yaakov said, Ushmerani bederech hazeh. That is this. And somehow, it says, that is something special. He quotes a Rashi. It's pointing out that Yaakov's way in life of Torah mitzvahs, of serving Hashem. Yaakov said, somehow this is Zen. I don't know exactly what it is because he doesn't go into greater detail. Yaakov emphasized this point, leading to the long number of words. And somehow it says Yaakov was making a elongated request for this Siyata Dishmaya to help him in his spiritual challenges. As for the bread to eat and the clothes to wear, the Klei Yakar says, Yaakov was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am aware that if I become too comfortable with materiality, it can blind me. Yes, I even need spiritual assistance, godly assistance, that I don't get blinded to turn to a life of materialism. Yaakov knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him great wealth. And he realized the great potential from falling from spiritual heights in having that sense of comfort. Yaakov Avinu realized that the greater level of comfort an individual has, the less innate need we feel to daven to Hashem for that which right makes our life possible. In other words, the tools we need. And we remember the pasuk, right? I think, where is it? Maybe it's in Hazinu. And Klal Yisrael became fat, meaning they became wealthy. Vayiva, and they kick. They said, God, maybe we don't need you now. Yaakov was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that all comes from you. I know that the physicality that I will enjoy is a divine gift. But I'm asking you don't give me excess. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me what I need to fulfill my mission. And Yaakov knew he would have 12 sons. Let me always have the recognition that HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Meira Shamayim, that everything in this world comes from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except for my Yira Shamayim, except for the way I try to do your mitzvos. Yaakov's request, therefore, turned almost exclusively, we could say, to having the ability to live the proper spiritual life. And Rabbi Rosner, who writes this essay, says, we too, if we're honest, should daven to a Kodesh Baruch Hu for guidance, protection in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remove those temptations away from our eyes. Rav Shimshon of Fall Hirsch says that when we read Birchas Kohanim every day, and when we do Chan, we say, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. God will bless you and guard you. And he says, this is, the blessing and the guarding are inverted to the way Yaakov said it. Yaakov said, guard first and bless later. And he says, Yaakov Avinu asked first that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection from the Satan be the paramount thing. And then for the material, I guess, items needed to fill the mission. And Shumshin Rofol Hirsch said, this is what people who are out there earning a living, which is the majority of us, are supposed to realize. He says, let's point out what's happening. Yaakov is about to leave the perfect house of Ruchnius. Yitzchak, right, and Rivka. He's venturing outside of the world for the first time. We had been told he was an Oitesh Yoshev Oiholim before. He was protected by the tent, so to speak, the tent of Yitzchak and Rivka. Now he was leaving, quote, the yeshiva for the first time, and he realized the need to be protected in going out into the big wide world. In Birchas Kohanim, Yivarechecha Hashem, we ask for the material items we need, and then we ask for protection. Yaakov, I'm guessing, was on a much higher level than anyone else in his day or thereafter, right? And I think we're told in the Gemara that the greater the individual, the greater the Yetzer Hara. Right? And so Yaakov, if he innately realized the level of grandeur he could reach, equally realized the level of failure, right? That was equal and opposite, because that's what happens. And so he may more acutely have realized the need for divine guidance in everything and asked for that first. Once Adam Harishai was told the Zeyas Apacha Toicha Lechet, that people have got to work for a living, that came with potential spiritual dangers. We have the need, and it's a mitzvah to support the family we have, to try to support the community, to try to support Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And we could say, you know what? We'd be much better off if we could live in a Beis Medrash all day long. We wouldn't have to fight the temptations of the big wide world. However, Yaakov Avinu was, right, the one of the Avos who stepped out and who challenged the world, who is going to have to deal with so many issues, right? His daughter being captured, a family fight, having to go to Mitzrayim, etc. And you could say Yaakov blazed the derech. He showed us the importance of Siyata Dishmaya, and we too should be aware of it. When Yaakov woke up from his dream, he said, Vayira, he was frightened. Vayomer, and he said, Ma noira hamakim hazeh. How awesome is this place? This is the Makim HaMikdash. This is where the Akedah took place. Ein zeh ki im beis Elokim v'zeh shar ha-shamayim. This is the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the gate to heaven. He had seen the angels going up and down. He realized that this is the Mokayim, the place where the base, the two Batei Mikdash, would stand, and the third everlasting one. And Yaakov gives it two names. He says it's base, it's a home, and a shar, a gate. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said, a bias is the ultimate destination, the end, and we embark on a journey, we get home. A gate is not a place to go, but it's something to enter, to go through. The Beis HaMikdash had both facets. It was a bias in that three times a year, Klal Yisroel went up and brought korbanos and saw the avodah of the Kohanim, but it was also a gate. He said, Klal Yisroel used the experience of having been at the home to get closer to a Kodesh Baruch, to grow inspiration. And you went there and you got something. So in that sense, he says, the Beis HaMikdash could be a gate, a shar. It could be the end, the bayit, because of its permanence. But because, presumably, you went through the days when your ola regel and became greater, it was also a gate. When we experience a spiritual high during davening, or we're at a shir and the item really gets to us, we say, wow, that is just so amazing, right? Or we're zoche to do an act of chesed, and we realize that it was truly something that was special, right? He said, the need is to say, hold on, I'm going to internalize that which I just experienced. I'm going to use it as a gate. I'm going to walk through this experience and allow it to enhance our spirituality, our ruchnius, and try to take that into other areas of life. Yaakov, he says, understood he was going to live with Lavan. And he knew who Lavan was. He knew the dangers that he could encounter, both spiritually and physically. And he realized that the spiritual elation that he had realized at having this dream at the spot of the Beis HaMikdash was something he had to take with him. And Rabbi Rosner, who writes all this, says, he says, Klal Yisroel has got to actually look at each ruchnius experience as being a home. It's somewhere we want it to be, but also as a shah, a gate, or maybe even as a rocket booster, pushing us up into greater and greater mitzvah-type verb. The next number of Verkoch I can't get done in 3 or 4 minutes. I'm trying to remember what the Rav said last night. Can you hear from them? No. I don't remember either. Oh, well. Being long-term memory a lot of times is better than short-term memory. Okay. All righty. I apologize. I'm going to end early because my mind doesn't want to cooperate.